It's Marketplace Tech for Thursday the 17th. I'm Ben Johnson. Two of the biggest tech companies in the world right now are from China, and what they do is hard to wrap your head around. I'm talking about Alibaba and Tencent. Alibaba is a massive e-commerce marketplace that also is a payment service and also owns brick-and-mortar grocery chains. Amazon much? Alibaba has its quarterly revenue report this morning. Tencent, which had an earnings call already this week and handily beat expectations, makes popular chat apps. It's got an advertising arm, video games for phones, video games for computers. The list goes on. Malcolm Pinkerton is Vice President of Market Insights at Kantar Retail, and he's here to make sense of this. Malcolm, thanks for talking with us.
Oh, thanks very much.
Both Alibaba and Tencent have been making big bets on growth opportunities that are relatively new. What have those bets been?
Well, they're very, very different. Alibaba in particular is now looking to strengthen their retailing capabilities, looking at strengthening internationally as they look beyond Southeast Asia, beyond their core heartland of China.
What about Tencent?
It's monetizing their social platforms and monetizing the huge amount of data that they're gathering about the consumer.
Apparently, something that's happening with both of these companies is that the projected share values are outpacing actual revenue growth. Can you explain that a little bit more for the uninitiated?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of that is down to expectations and how they are outperforming those expectations.
Uh-huh.
But it's also just the sheer growth opportunities that these businesses have, and the long-term fundamentals of both businesses are incredibly strong.
As easy as the Amazon comparison is, I think also sometimes folks have shied away from it because the actual Venn diagram of customers for these two companies, you know, Amazon and Alibaba, for instance, don't have a ton of overlap, the Venn diagram. Is that true, and will it always be true?
I think it's a very different beast. I mean, they're operating in very, very different markets. But when you start to look at their underlying strategies, you can start to draw some similarities, especially when you start to look at creating that seamless, frictionless shopping experience, especially when you start to look at how they're monetizing their media platforms, especially when you start to look at how they're building their own logistical and fulfillment capabilities. That's when you can start to see some similarities in their strategy. And really, it's all down to the fact that both of them are completely, utterly focused on one thing, and that's what the consumer wants.
Malcolm Pinkerton, he is Vice President of Market Insights at Kantar Retail. Malcolm, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
A lot of the online platforms used by white supremacists in America have put those users on notice this week. We've already talked about web hosting firms booting hate-focused websites. The popular video game chat app Discord has also taken steps to purge white supremacist users and hate speech. Now PayPal is taking similar action. This latest example is at least in part thanks to an organization called Color of Change that's advocating for a number of financial services companies to stop hate groups from using them for funding. Rashad Robinson is executive director of Color of Change. Rashad, appreciate you joining us.
Thanks for having me.
What has PayPal done for white supremacist movements?
We've seen leaders individually have PayPal links where folks can see viral videos of them at rallies and then donate for them to get to the next rally. Mm. We've seen organizations have PayPal links on their websites. We've seen people and organizations selling products. And so these companies like PayPal have been instrumental in fueling and funding this movement.
I think part of the assumption here is that when PayPal blocks these white supremacists, they'll just find a new platform. Are tech companies the right entities for folks to focus on when they're trying to affect change?
Well, I think tech companies are one of the places to focus on. We have to focus on a whole host of corporate enablers. The same way that our government and our banks and our institutions have cut off funds from international terrorists, we have to do the same thing with domestic terrorists. And what we have tried to do is really hold the feet to the fire, not just of tech companies, but of major, you know, long-standing companies like Visa, MasterCard, and American Express, and hold these folks' feet to the fire as well and say that if your products and your services are supercharging and funding and fueling the type of hate and violence that we are seeing across our country, then you've got to stop.
Who do you think should draw the lines here? You know, activists sort of holding tech companies to account? Is it the tech companies themselves making the rules for the road in terms of who should be able to use their platform? Is it users? Who is it?
Well, I think it's a mix of all three. I think the companies have a role. Activists and organizations have a role in mobilizing public energy. At the end of the day, many of these companies already have terms of services and policies that kind of banned many of the groups that we're talking about here. In fact, PayPal didn't really have to update its policies. They actually had to really put them into practice. And so a lot of our efforts have been about not asking for a new set of policies, but asking for policies that are on the books to be enforced and standards to be upheld.
Rashad Robinson, he's executive director at Color of Change. Rashad, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
And President Donald Trump's lawyers lost a long-standing trademark battle this month. A musician named Tom Sharfield made an app way back in 2011, iTrump, an iPhone app that, yes, simulates a trumpet to show you how to play. Of course, after a protracted legal battle, it seems Donald Trump's legal team were finally forced to admit to the trumpet player their case was a bunch of hot air. Sorry, guys. Had to. I'm Ben Brock Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.